Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
From way up high, abstracted natural bas-relief, witness from the sky, clouds that cast a single shadow.
This Wednesday at the Falcon Arts Center in Marlboro, New York, Terry Reuger will be singing the music of Abby Lincoln in celebration of June 19th, the annual holiday celebrating the announcement of the abolition of slavery in the U.S. Abby Lincoln was a legendary singer, poet, songwriter, actress, and civil rights activist, and Terry's latest CD, Dear Abby, captures the spirit of the rising civil rights movement and showcases Lincoln's talents as a lyricist, mixing personal confession with larger social and political implications. The album has been a real passion project for Terry Reuger, and she joins us now to tell us more about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thank you very much for being here. The CD is lovely. This
Thank
is beautiful,
you.
And what we just heard was utterly delightful. I mentioned passion project for you. This has been in the works for how long?
Well, I first heard Abby many, many years ago when I was still living in Minneapolis, and I actually came to her through those albums she did with her then-husband, Max Roach, We Insist, Freedom Now, Sweet, and Straight Ahead, which were done during the civil rights period, and they were some of the first protest songs ever written. And I was so drawn to her voice, her sound, her passion. And then when I moved to New York, I went to see her several times, and by then she had started writing her own material. And she had just an amazing way of expressing every human emotion and having it coming out sounding just so beautiful. And I just loved what she had to say. She was almost like a folk artist in that she would write songs about her life and times, but the songs were done with the jazz sensibility.
How much of a project like this is research and listening and ultimately, I guess, understanding not only her, but the music that she's writing?
Yeah, I mean, she has written so many great songs, and I actually had a hard time, you know, narrowing down the ones that I wanted to do because
sure.
I love them all. They all tell a story. So, you know, over the years, I've just listened to her so much and am familiar with so many of her songs. And I tried to get inside the story. Sometimes her lyrics aren't easily comprehended on first listening, and they're so deep that you have to really, you know, think about what her life was like and what she was going through to understand the story sometimes. And, you know, the songs that I chose were just some of my most favorite, and there are just so many others that are still out there waiting to be brought to life.
Discovered again. And...
Yeah, and when she passed away in August 2010, I felt really compelled to record a CD of her music just to keep it alive in this jazz standard repertoire because the songs are that good.
Did you know her? Did you have a relationship with any?
I met her a few times. I never pursued, you know, going to hang out with her at her apartment, which a lot of singers were doing, and I didn't really realize it. I was respecting her privacy.
Sure.
I didn't know she'd probably would have loved hanging out with me.
Well, who wouldn't, Terry? Who wouldn't?
but I did get to talk to her at some of her gigs. So.
I find it interesting of something you just said about of knowing that backstory. And how important for you as an artist is it for, especially in a project like this with an artist like Abby Lincoln, to have that context, to know what is going on around some of these songs so that you can perform them in a meaningful way that ultimately is conveyed to us, the audience.
Right. Well, I just feel like, you know, the lyric is really, really important. So I, you know, I first just studied the lyric, but it's the combination of her music and lyrics is what, you know, is very attractive. But as far as her lyrics, you know, I've read a lot about her life. I've talked to people who knew her, and I've, you know, learned as much about her as I could, really. Mm. And her, you know, her various relationships with different people and how she saw the world. And, you know, she just had a way of, her lyrics are so clever and so meaningful. Like this song called "You Gotta Pay the Band" that I recorded is, you know, it's like, you gotta pay the band. You have to pay your dues. You can't get away with anything. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so there's so much in that song itself. And the lyrics are also romantic. And she just kind of brings every feeling into the song. You can experience kind of what you want from it, what you can get from it.
That ability to express humanity and to express struggle and human struggle, and quite frankly, make it so beautiful in a song is really something.
It really is. I think she's unique in that way. And that's really what, you know, one of the things that attracted me and attracts me to her music.
When you look at a project like this, how fully immersed do you become? I mean, what impact does it have on the rest of your musical life?
Well, Abby is, her music is what really inspired me to start writing my own music. Because, you know, she also has written wonderful lyrics to other people's songs, which I've recorded, Hank Jones, Thad Jones, Charlie Hayden tune. And that's what I first started doing. I first started writing lyrics to, like, Monk tunes, to my husband, John Menegon's tunes. And the more I listened to her songs, the more I just felt compelled, well, I have to start writing. And, you know, she really led me to that.
So now that the project is over, does it change you? I mean, do you have a different outlook? Or is it still, it just reinforces what you've been doing?
It reinforces. It's made me want to really write more, take my career, my music, to the next level, and really concentrate on writing and also interpreting more of her songs, you know, and just bringing them to light.
When you read a lyric and you look at a song, can you hear it in your head of how you will perform it, and does it ultimately come out the way you want it to, or how long does that process take?
Well, it depends on who I'm working, you know, who I am playing with. For one thing, I mean, I play piano and I sing, and so when I do that, that's how I really learn the tune. I listen to it. Are you talking about original music now, or
yeah,
or, you know,
I just find it fascinating. Of, well, I guess, you know, maybe not original music, because I find it interesting. If you listen to, or if you read lyrics and you look at a particular song, even something that's established or something that's new, at what point do you hear your voice and how you can interpret it?
Well, when I start practicing it, like I'll sit down at the piano right away. And I've done that since I was a child, you know, when I want to learn something. If I saw a musical or something I liked, I would get the music and I would sit down and learn it and play it and sing it and have fun with the words. One of my favorite things about singing jazz is the rhythmic displacement, the freedom that one has in singing, because to me jazz is about freedom. And so I play with the words, and depending on who I'm playing with, the way they are playing will influence the way I sing the song as well, even lyrically.
And when you're working on something, the because it seems to me that there are two tasks at hand. There's ultimately the writing of the music and coming up with a song, and then how you will perform it and how you will interpret it. And I guess at what point do those come together or influence one another? And what I'm ultimately getting at is when you realize what you can do with your vocal instrument of what mm-hmm. you can do to interpret those words. That's why I love listening to you, because there's so much more there. Mm-hmm. It's not just the words, it's not just the music. There's a feeling and an expression that comes in. And obviously, at least to me, that takes a lot of time.
Well, it takes a lot of listening, you know, the listening I've done to so many great jazz artists, and, you know, sometimes walking the dog in the morning, a song will come to me and I'll run home and write it down, and,
yeah.
you know, the lyrics and the ideas. Sometimes when I'm least trying to think of something, when things come in naturally is when they seem to really work, you know, just as well as when I'm really trying hard.
Well, sure, because when it's natural, it's just that. It comes from you.
Yeah.
When you complete a project like this, and you'll be celebrating the release on Wednesday at the Falcon Arts Center, what do you hope the audience gets out of an evening like that?
I hope that they really fall in love with Abby's music the way that I have, and feel the joy that I feel when I hear her music, and I would like to share that with the audience. And also bringing this whole engagement is also to bring awareness to Juneteenth, because in the North, Juneteenth is not really celebrated so much as it is in the South. Mm. And, you know, in the South, it's widely celebrated with picnics, parades, festivals, you know, so... Because I will be doing some of her civil rights music, and there will also be some speakers talking about the abolition of slavery and how it was delayed 2.5 years in some places because the slave owners did not tell the slaves they had been freed. So the whole Juneteenth celebration is about this announcement 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation saying, okay, it's time. So I hope to bring awareness to this and to Abby Lincoln's music and just share the joy with the audience at the Falcon, which is a fantastic venue. Mm. It's just an amazing place to hear music. You can have dinner, drinks, just come for the music. It's wonderful.
The speakers will begin at 7. The music will begin at 8. It's this Wednesday, June 19th. And the speakers, you mentioned Mel Johnson Jr.,
yes.
who is a professional actor and does a Frederick Douglass show, and he'll be there, as well as Joe Washington, who's an educator and jazz historian at SUNY and CUNY. Again, you can find out more information about this by going to liveatthefalcon.com, liveatthefalcon.com. It's at the Falcon Arts Center in Marlborough, New York, on Wednesday, June 19th at 7 o'clock.
I also would like to tell everyone that if they cannot make it, there will be a live webcast that evening, and I'm going to post that link on my website as soon as I get home today.
TerryReuger.com, TerryReuger.com. And again, the new CD, Dear Abby, the Music of Abby Lincoln. Terry, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Hey, Lordy Mama, I heard you wasn't feeling.